Today we're looking at the story of Paul, who is a very interesting figure. Most of the books in the New Testament were actually written as letters, and many of those letters were written by, or at least attributed to, Paul. We have access to more words written by Paul than we do to words spoken by Jesus. Paul traveled all over the ancient world to share the teachings of Jesus, but that was not always his goal, to put it mildly. When Paul first steps into the narrative of the book of Acts, it is at the scene of the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who was stoned by a crowd for teaching that Jesus was the Son of God. Acts 8:1 literally reads, "And Saul approved of their killing him." We've seen a few times before in the Bible that people sometimes change their names after having an intimate encounter with God. Abram became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Simon became Peter. When Paul was a young man, he was known as Saul, which means asked for or prayed for. After the experience of the story we're about to read, he was known as Paul, which means humble. So now we turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the Way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." Ananias answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Back in the earliest days of what we now call Christianity, the first generations of people who believed in Jesus were called followers of the way. Some of them still attended synagogues. Some of them didn't come from a Jewish background at all. They didn't have official church buildings. They met in small groups in homes and shared stories and prayers. They wrote each other letters. They took care of each other in whatever small ways they could. It would take a few more generations before they started creating formal rituals and writing them down. After a few centuries, they started to build churches, sometimes literally on top of the homes where people had once met to worship. I was fortunate enough to be able to walk through some ancient house churches in Rome when I was there studying the early Christians. There have been a lot of fascinating periods throughout the course of human history, but if I could pick just one to step into, I wish that I could sit and talk and pray with some of the first followers of the way. They were literally risking their lives by practicing their faith. Stephen being stoned to death was not an isolated incident. But still, they believed. They developed a system of secret codes that insiders would recognize, but outsiders might not even notice. A home that followed the way might carve a little fish by their front door. The word for fish in Greek is ichthys, which is five letters, iota, chi, theta, upsilon, sigma. Those letters were understood by followers to stand for Jesus Christos Theouia Soter, or Jesus Christ, Son of God, saves. This is the community that Stephen belonged to before he was stoned to death. This is the community that Paul was specifically traveling to Damascus to track down and arrest, so that followers of the way could be tried by religious authorities for their heresy. This is the community that Paul found refuge in. When he was literally blinded by the glory of God, he chose to trust in the message that a man named Ananias would heal him. Ananias had no reason to want to welcome Paul to Damascus, and he certainly had no reason to want to help him. He knew that this man had literally come to his city to persecute him and his community. How could he trust Paul, of all people? Paul, who later wrote in a letter to the church in Galatia that he had once intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. If Ananias was captured by this man, that might put his whole community at risk. Was it a trick? Ananias chose to obey the call of God, but he must have been afraid. There were so many ways that it could have gone wrong. And yet, still, he chose to show kindness to a man who should have been his enemy. And it wasn't a trick. Ananias chose to answer God's call and show kindness to Paul. And Paul chose to answer God's call and accept the invitation to be baptized into the way. In one moment, on that road to Damascus, Paul's whole life was unraveled. everything that he thought he believed in, everything he thought he stood for, everything he thought was right. All of it was unraveled and thrown in different directions. He might have chased after them, tried to keep his old life together, but they were lost forever. There has never been a time in my life when I haven't been part of a church. But my experience joining new church communities was nothing like Paul's. When I first went to Mass in college, or Methodist Bible study, or my church in Washington, D.C., or the seminary chapel, no one knew who I was. Each community was large enough, even if only barely, to become anonymous if I wanted to. But even before Paul was baptized, every follower of the way knew who he was and knew what he represented. Every member of the community had to come to terms with who Paul was and what he had done. Paul would not have been the sort of brother in the faith that they would have thought they wanted. They would never have imagined that he would come to be such an important author in the Christian canon, or that, for better or worse, he would come to shape the very church that they were creating. There are times in all of our lives when we find ourselves at a crossroads, times when our plans are unraveled and we have to find a new path. It won't always be a smooth transition. We will stumble and fall and trip over each other and accidentally pull others down with us. But we won't stumble alone. Because whether it's a single family of faith worshiping at home, whether it's two or three gathered together in Jesus' name over Zoom, whether it's the church we used to know, whether it's the church that will someday rise from the ashes, we are followers of the way, and we are never alone.